Good evening, everyone, from Gustavus City Hall, and welcome to the general meeting for May 8, 2023 of the Gustavus City Council. And I would like to call it to order at this time. Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Here.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Here.
All present.
Okay, thank you very much. And for those tuning in, I'll note that Treasurer Ben Sadler is sitting in the clerk's chair tonight. So when you hear me calling for Mr. Clerk, it is he who will be responding. So, our first item, as usual, is the vision statement. And I'd like to call on Council Member Driscoll to read it for us, please.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the first item, item one of the agenda, approval of minutes. And we have a motion from Councilmember Owens, please.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the April 10th, 2023 general meeting minutes.
We have a second.
Second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Owens and seconded by Councilmember Moskoviak to approve the April 10, 2023 general meeting minutes. They've been previously distributed. Do any members of the public, either online or in the room here, wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up. So do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, it looks like they're all good. Are there any objections to approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Next item is mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no suggested changes for the agenda. Does anybody wish to reorder anything for any reason in the agenda?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Owen.
Thanks. I would like to move items 7 and 9 from the consent agenda.
We'll do that when we get to the actual consent agenda. Can we do that at that time? Sure. Yeah, that'd be fine. But that isn't a change in the agenda per se, because we do that if somebody would like to move them. So we can do that at that time. Any other requests for any changes in the agenda? Okay, well, we'll adopt the agenda then as set. That takes us on to committee report, or staff reports rather, and the first is from the Gustavus Visitors Association. And do we have Leah Oaken online here? I think I see Leah online. So Leah.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Mann. Thank you, City Council members, for the opportunity again to present our quarterly report for May. So you have your report, the reports in front. So I suppose for the purposes of those who are listening at home, which I'm looking at the participants, let me scan down and see maybe there's a couple. I'd see maybe three participants that are not in the room that may not be seeing the actual printouts that you have projected on your screen. So I'll just kind of run through things of what you're looking at, and you can maybe turn the reports, Mr. Clerk, as I kind of move along. So the first page just goes through our mission statements. So we'll just go to the next page. So we've got our mission statement, organizational structure, and then our funding source. So that completed a task. So I'll just zap through these. And so we've been busy as usual. And what have we done? So this is what we've completed this quarter. So maintaining the Gustavus calendar of events. So on our website, we have a calendar of events that incorporates what's going on at the GCC in addition to what's going on at other venues around town. So people can view, people who are maybe not on Facebook, who want to view what's going on a month-by-month schedule in the entire town, can look at our calendar events and see what's going on. So we maintain that and keep that up to date. We've maintained marketing and memberships with Southeast Alaska Tourism Council and Travel Alaska and Alaska Travel Industry Association and Travel Juno. Updated content on our website and listings to reflect the 2023 operations of all businesses that operate in Gustavus. Maintain marketing listings with the Milepost and the Alaska Magazine. Continued discussions on the update of the content of the beach kiosk. So I've just kind of give you a little bit of background. And as I go through these bullet points, I'm just expanding on them as well. And let me know if we're limited for time, if I need to move along. But so the beach kiosk, at the moment, the content of the beach kiosk has a map of Gustavus, and then it has a map of Find Your Park, the National Park, Find Your Park. And the objective of the board was to make it more Gustavus-based. So when people come here to Gustavus, when they look at that that kiosk, that they can learn a little bit more about Gustavus and its history and what's going on. So with that, I've contacted several people to get aspects of content. I contacted Wayne Howell and Kathy Hawker to put an informational poster about the cultural side of Gustavus. Contacted Sean Nelson to put in to get an image of the Fairweather and the mountains, the names, the heights, the distances from that viewpoint. I did way back when contacted Jim Muscoviac about information about the namesake of Gustavus. And he mentioned aspects of his book. So I'll follow up further with him at some point. I know that you're listening there, Jim, so that'll be continued. I did have a very lengthy several conversations actually with Linda Parker to get the homesteader points of view and get that incorporated. So I'm trying to sort of bring in all aspects of Gustavus into that information area. And make it a place not necessarily for people who are just coming off the ferry to see, but for people who are wandering around town, for them to go there, for it to be a draw for people to learn about Gustavus, and also for the people who live here. It's wonderful to see informational aspects about Gustavus. So that's the kiosk, and it's going to get moved to the other side of the road as soon as Elm has some time to do so. He's been busy. So next bullet, we've been continued featured listing on the Travel Juno nearby communities. The film, so we've been put out a couple of emails and surveys trying to collect what data Gustavus, the community of Gustavus and the businesses of Gustavus would like to have in the upcoming film that's going to be something which everybody is proud of, something which you know, I really wanted to reach out to everybody and say, you know, how would you like to see Gustavus represented? And it's a big undertaking when you ask those open questions, because you're not going to get the same points of view. But I really feel that it's important to ask people and to incorporate everybody's points of view as much as possible. We got a huge response from those surveys, and we also incorporated what we'd like to do as a board, interviews into this next film, so that you really get sort of the history and the story of Gustavus. So we got 16 people nominated to be interviewed. And really, when it comes down to it, they're going to be really brief snippets of their words that'll come out, but hopefully the collective words coming from a variety of different aspects: naturalists, homesteaders, the geologists, park people, you know, so a whole bunch of array of personalities that are really going to bring forth the personality and the standout aspects of Gustavus from other communities in Southeast. So that's going to be the content of the film that's going to be happening in probably late June. We're going to be putting that together. What else we've got going on? Blog posts. Where else am I? I'm going to run down here. I'm going to look back on my bullets to see what have I missed, because I jumped around a little bit then, sent out the survey. So we gathered. So three up from the bottom. One, two, three, gather. More new content for the kiosk. Based history, yep, so that's done that. Continue to generate GVA community news bulletin, just sent out another one. Hopefully those are getting around town. But just to give you an idea of the news bulletins, are just to capture it's kind of a net of catch-all of information that people are asking that's not necessarily out there. You know, I don't include into those bulletins information about the GCC, about the city of Gustavus, about the library, about the school, because they all have their own subscribers and newsletters, which are very informative. So this newsletter is just a catch-all of other information that's going on in town that people might have questions about. So next page, please. So we gathered information about the changes, the update for the city map. That is a huge undertaking. There are about 60 updates of people not necessarily all agreeing with each other of what they wanted to see or not see on the city map. So I threw again a big net out there saying to everybody, what would you like to update? So that what I didn't want to do is create a map and then for somebody to say, I didn't want this, or I did want that. So I knew that I was really kind of opening up a can of worms when I throw it out to everybody for opinions. But again, I wanted to incorporate everybody's opinions. So I think we've achieved that, and we've got a new map that is under print at the moment. It will be out in the next couple of weeks. Blog posts and blog page organizing strategies for blog content. So we want to just find more avenues of outreach of information of what's going on in Gustavus, and see passwords. Manager for GVA account passwords are improved. 36. We've greatly improved our social media and the posts and stories. 8,384 total social media reached. Slow and steady growth. We're really trying to grow our reach of marketing organically, which is cheaper, but also it's just it's a better way to grow the marketing scene. So that's what we've been up to. That's what we've done. And we've got a whole bunch of to do. Next page, please. We can probably flick through a couple of pages here. Let's see. Let's go back one notch, please. Oh, nope, go forward one notch. I'm going to cut to the chase to the bottom of this. So compared to previous years, we saw a decline overall in traffic sites this quarter, largely because we had a big spike. So when you have a spike, you know, there's only one place you can go after a spike is down. So it's not to say that we didn't do well, but we, in comparison to that spike, we had a drop. So that spike was there was a month in March and April 2022, a result of a popular Instagram post of humpback whale that drew lots of traffic to the site, which is great. Traffic to the site is great. It's worth noting that the traffic we did receive this year has been a higher quality, so more engagement sessions per session, which is great. And despite the drop overall, traffic organic reach via search still grew compared to, so that's good. Next, please. Do I need to hurry it along? How am I doing for time, please? Is anybody out there still listening?
I think we've gone through your time, but if you'd like to make a few concluding remarks there, it'd be great. Then we'll ask you questions.
Okay, that sounds good. So this report, if anybody who is listening who does not have access to this report and would like access to it, send me an email and I'll send you the report and then you can look through all of it step by step. But the bottom line is that we've been continuing to make improvements, really continuing to work on the marketing of Gustavus. The national park has a wonderful marketing ability, but we really want to draw people into Gustavus for a longer time in Gustavus and have the money in town and the businesses. Again, the visitor association is focused on visitors, and the visitors are what draw the economy to Gustavus. So this is our number one economy in Gustavus is tourism. So if we can improve tourism, then we create jobs, and jobs creates money, and money puts food on the table for the families. And that's really the end goal of the GVA, is to reinvest the bed tax dollars to create jobs and create futures and to better the economies of Gustavus. And we are doing that hands down. And I urge anybody who would like to reach out to myself personally, you can contact me on info@gustavusak.com and ask me questions and let me know how I can help, or if you have concerns about the GVA and what we're up to, please reach out to me. My door is always open. So with that, I'm going to conclude and I welcome questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Do any council members have any questions for Leah, the report? I have just one brief one, Leah. Of course, we hope every lodge and business in Gustavus has a successful season this year, and we hope that the city plays a role in enabling businesses to be successful. How do things look for, do you have any updates on reservations for rooms and bookings, et cetera, for our visitor businesses?
I don't have any updates further to the update that I put out, the results from that survey that I put out. I don't have that date in front of me when I put that survey out. When the majority of businesses said that they had the reservations were looking good or better than last year. So I don't have an update on that, but based on that, you know, I think we're looking good. We're set to have a good, healthy visitor season this year.
Thank you. Well, we'll certainly hope so. Okay, well, thank you very much for your report, and we wish everybody in the Visitor Association a very successful year this year. I'd like to move on to the Third item of the Disposal and Recycling Center quarterly report, Paul Berry.
Thank you. It's an honor to be presenting my final report as the DRC manager. I'm recovering from a cold that I came down with last week at this time, so I'm not in peak performance. That's my excuse. Yeah, otherwise, I would have summed up some. Yeah, I just can't do it. I'm the kind of person who thinks about this stuff for 19 years, but when his point comes, it's like, I tried to find the first report that I did to the city council in probably 2005 or something, but I just kind of, they're mixed in with some old newspaper articles and stuff like that. I would like to point out that I'm planning on doing a slideshow at the community center on the last Wednesday in June. I'm putting together slides, and also if anybody has slides from the era of 1994 to 2000, I didn't seem to take very many photos of my work at that point in time. I've got lots of photos after that date, but I'm looking for photos of the early days when I was working there, 1994 to 2000. If anybody has any photos, I would certainly like to add them to this photo story that I'm putting together. Anyway, based on my last report, I did a brief summary of the history. I won't go through that with you here. I did finally get the last 2 years of the annual reports up. I still am missing some data from trash flow, but I wanted to get these reports out there. And Ian is excited to put together the annual report for FY23. Once this closes, and I told him that's something that we usually do in the winter when you've got a little more time. I did in this report give you an update on the mound, which is our community long-term storage of solid waste located in the middle of town. As far as how much we're using on an annual basis, and our use has increased since 2015, which was estimated 250 cubic yards, and we're now up to 293 cubic yards a year. So this is an important metric to kind of gauge the growth of Gustavus's solid waste mound. And I've been working with Ian as far as how we can measure this and stuff like that. And this is also important for the council to consider in the next planning process for getting the funds together to start the actual process of, cutting down trees and stuff like that, the big work of extending the footprint of the mound, because you want to start that before you actually need the space. Covered the compost sales, which were quite successful. That's always fun to participate in. That was a week and a half ago. Everything was sold out. It was a good, it really brings a lot of pleasure to me that a resource like waste that in a lot of landfills is literally in the ground, and a lot of smaller landfills in rural Alaska, they don't capture the gas to make electricity like landfills in lower 48 do. So it's really, in many small landfills, it's really wasted. But here, it's something that it's coveted and that people are lining up, happy to spend money on, and are excited to get. And that is one of the greatest rewards of a landfill operator manager, is when you have turned a waste product into a resource and that you're in a community where that resource is appreciated. That really is a good thing. And I'm really pleased to have that success. Not all of the composting history was a success. And looking at these slides, I saw a lot of mistakes that I made early on, jumped into a big term and, just like, wow. 20 some years have gone by. It's cool. It's worked, and it's really great to be a part of that. I'm sorry I don't have anything positive to report on the electronic product stewardship. When I was in Anchorage last month, talking to my colleague in the Zender group, who's kind of has talked with the sponsor, or would hopefully been the legislator who actually is a SWANA member and is a owner or chairperson. No, she works with Central Recycling Services in Anchorage, but unfortunately, no legislation for that was introduced this session. The hope is that legislation will be introduced next session to get this rolling. I know there's a lot of interested people in this idea. There's a lot of support across the aisle. I mean, Texas is one of the states that has EPR legislation. I mean, it really is something that a lot of people support. It's not a thing of great controversy. It's just something that has to get rolling. There's a little report on the community chest and Ian's work as far as repairing some of the dilapidated shelving and stuff that's in the yard. I'm hoping to put together a groundwater monitoring well replacement project scoping document, just so the city has an idea of what steps are needed to happen in order to replace at least two of these test wells. That should happen in the next couple of years in order to keep up with our testing. Our next testing period that we'd use both of these wells would be in April of next year. I don't know if we'd have them replaced by that time, but you know, this kind of helps out that process to do that. And I have talked with Roger North of Visto G Environmental, our landfill engineer, who we've worked with in the past, who would be, you know, happy to provide his services in helping us locate the ideal places for these wells, the proper depths, proper construction of the wells and stuff like that. So we'd have a true landfill engineer, you know, working with on the design of these things. And they shouldn't be that expensive, famous last words. And then I just gave a short little update. I don't really have any updates for those big three capital projects that we're doing, the composting structure, the main building, and the baler. I mean, they're just, because they're so expensive, they're out of the city's immediate means in terms of funding. So we're kind of at the mercy of various granting agencies and stuff like that. And I do know that the Swiffer, you know, they haven't gone through and awarded anything yet. So for the composting one, there's not anything set on that. So that is what I have for my report. I'm taking questions if you guys have them. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Council members, question for Paul on his last report to us.
It's not a question, but I just want to thank you for your remarkable reports, particularly the historical overview and then in the beginning, and then the poetry and the compost sales. The second, third sentences are hysterical. I just really appreciate your work.
I slave on those things. And part of the reason I slave on them is I knew there's a couple people out there who appreciate them, you know? And so it's kind of like, okay, I can do it one more time, but thank you.
Councilmember Taylor.
I'll likewise follow on and say I have been one of your followers in secret and admirers of the wonderful DRC reports. I mean, you said something about giving a slideshow. Is that going to be at the library? I didn't see a date for that, but maybe I'm not.
I just mentioned it. I didn't write it in there. I've scheduled it for the last Wednesday in June, which is the 27th, 28th, somewhere in there at the community center. Great Hall.
Okay. I will keep my eye open for that and be sure to attend.
Yeah, it's a weekday.
Councilmember Lewis.
I just want to thank Paul for 29 years of cleaning up our trash and not only taking care of, the part of life that a lot of us don't like to take care of, but making it better and better and easier and more enjoyable and more ecological and efficient. And yeah, thanks, Paul. You've really done amazing work here. And I think this town just wouldn't be the same without efforts, and hopefully it will continue into the future, your legacy.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for your service, for thinking about how we've got started out with a smoldering, burning landfill kind of a thing that went to then to a dump, and then it went to a landfill, and then it went to a DRC. And we were, you know, such a small community, but we're always on the cutting edge of what to do with our waste and our trash. And I think that that's all because of your vision. And I really, really appreciate that. And really thank you for all your efforts, as well as for the vision that you had that we were able to pursue and to accomplish. So thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you. And I just, when I hear that, you know, so much of that is because of the support of the community. It really, it, when you have a person like me who's willing to do something, it's usually in an environment where they're supported in doing it, you know, so it really is a, it's a positive feedback loop. It's, yeah, it's, it is nice.
Let me add my appreciation too, as mayor and somebody who's way back, I was on the committee when we had a committee for the DRC, and your vision is for a really model landfill and recycling operation is what is really made it what it is. And the DRC is a source of pride to us. People come from elsewhere in Alaska and maybe beyond that to see how we do this in a small town. And I think I can say we've got the best operation of this type for a small town in Alaska. And it's your vision and your work that's, yeah, it's made it that. I see Jim Muscoviac has his hand up for a comment too. So Councilmember Muscoviac.
Well, pretty much reiterate everything that everyone said. It's been Paul's vision, and he's applied it consistently and with good humor and spirit through all these years. And that's a big accomplishment, and Gustavus is a better place for it. Thank you very much, Paul.
You're here.
Yeah, Paul, just because of most people said what I wanted to say already doesn't mean I won't reiterate and the gratitude for you and that operation. And I think back to my first time here in Gustavus, and as someone that's very logistics minded, you know, I started with Alaska Mountain Guides in 2010, and I inherited this giant heap of trash and recycling, and I thought, what are we gonna do with all this? And I sheepishly loaded it into a van. I'm like, oh, they are gonna grill me for this. Like, what do they even do with this here? And the attitude was not shaming me. You know, you knew that, like, hey, this is income. You know, you guys are paying for this, and you had a great attitude about it, and made me not worry about cleaning up all that trash. And then looking just at the operation, it was incredible, and I've been enamored with it ever since. And I don't think you've ever failed to realize this, but I'm also one of your biggest fans.
Thank you.
Any other council comments or questions? Okay, well, thank you again, Paul. We're glad to have you here for another month at least. So, yeah. Okay, that brings us to item 4, the city treasurer's monthly financials and quarterly report. Treasurer Ben Sadler.
Thank you, Mike. I don't really have anything to add to either the financials or the report, except for to say that I knew when I was doing my report that we were going to receive our PILT payment, but we'd not yet received the money in the bank account. And this morning, we $48,254 was deposited. That is our PILT for FY23. So we have that now. And the other thing that I'm working on, which I didn't put in my report, is I'm creating a resolution and updating the policy so that we can better take advantage of our AMLIP accounts, as the council has asked. So I'm hoping to have that ready for the June general meeting, and hopefully you guys will like that. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Treasurer Ben Sadler? Okay, thanks. Ben's, of course, worked so hard on the budget and all these last few months, and we're really appreciative of all the fine work. We're in good hands, I can say. Okay, then if there are no other questions for Ben, we'll move on then to the city administrator's report. Kathy Leary's on Zoom. Kathy?
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Okay, because you guys are kind of muffled at my end, but if you can hear me, I will continue. And good evening, everyone. So for my report, we were working together with the city clerk before she left to learn how to edit and post the draft meeting minutes and generating the minutes through the Muni Code program. Particularly like to thank Sol and Ben for stepping up to the plate to fill in for these for being able to do the reports and post things online. I also worked with Karen to relocate and organize some electronic folders so they're more logical and retrievable. With her not being around to be able to find things, we felt we had to reorganize a few things. Having not received too much local interest for our clerk job, I went onto the AKDOL website and posted it on there. It's definitely not the same site it was 5 years ago when it was Alexis. It takes a course to be able to figure out how to post stuff. So it's now on the DOL website. It's on the AML website. It's on the state Alaska city clerk's website. And we intend to move it around to a few other spots as well. When we redid the purchase requisition P&P, we missed a couple of little grammatical errors and duplicate words, so we cleaned that up. It wasn't something that needed to come to the council. It was just a couple of grammatical errors. I continue to work with John Barry, the mayor, on the septage project. John is working on these projects from Texas. He's dealing with the medical process at the University of Texas Medical Center. He has allowed me to share that he can still attend to most of the projects from there, just not the boots on the ground stuff. So Mike and I, along with Paul and Ian and the Glacier Bay Construction, will deal with the boots on the ground piece for that project. I just want to wish John well in his medical processes, and I hope everyone will wish the same. Some of the next steps is staking out the roadway and the exact location for the tanks installation. We've issued a notice to proceed, and the NCO is up before you for the hearing tonight for the supplementary funding for the project and for council approval. And as previously addressed, we had some unanticipated regulatory provisions required by ADEC, project management to go along with that, and additional site preparation for adequate staging of the pump truck requires these additional funds. And I believe the mayor in his report will address a couple of other of those items. I've continued to work on our grant projects. I attend the weekly office hours sponsored by AML that brings up, you know, which funding opportunities and agencies are issuing notice of funding opportunities. And we do have some projects that didn't make the cut. And so we're analyzing the next best funding sources to, you know, to apply for the projects and another revenue source. The Marine Facilities Coordinator position has been filled by Larry Platt. He'll start his duties on June 5th. He did agree to come in for a couple of days as a temp, so Ben could help train him on the metal ramp and float installation processes. I again testified to the Senate Education Subcommittee on Senate Bill 110. We don't know what the costs are going to be if that bill comes to fruition, to where the city could actually join the state's insurance pool. They're offering it up to school districts as well if the bill is successful. And if it comes to pass, and if it becomes available, it will be an additional resource for the city to consider as we look at improving our healthcare insurance offerings. We're still going through some account changes, and treasury.gov is one of the main ones we have to deal with for federal funding. And they just refused to talk to anyone on the phone. So we finally had to kind of tell them it wasn't working and they needed to get it fixed for us, because both of us were kind of spinning our wheels, and we need to have that account so we can report on our federal funding. We held a pre-award meeting for projects with Glacier Bay Construction, who were the low bidders, with John Barry, Mayor Taylor, Ben, and myself. And we had to iron out some details for the projects prior to the award. Continue to attend to the road condition complaints and other citizen calls. We're doing what we can with the weather restrictions and the resources we have. As the snow was melting, you know, we did have a lot of complaints, but you can only do so much when you've got a slurry on top of frozen roads. So we're hoping people will learn to be a little more patient, drive a little slower, but we are doing what we can to address those things. I've spent a significant amount of time and resources with the contractor, the city attorney, and the project manager on post-award terms and conditions for the library shelter project. And we're still trying to iron those out. We won't be issuing a notice to proceed until all the conditions and change orders are stipulated and agreed to. We're hoping to not have to go there, but it is possible we might need to rebid that project. So just wanted to let folks know and the council know about that. We reworked our lease agreement and matrix of responsibilities on the OPO building, which Ken McGowan has already started working on and will finish when he turns from a different job commitment. And Byte Networking has hooked up the internet there. And Ken hopes to have the shop open by August. And we also worked with Seoul and the Alaskan Division of Health on the a Healthy and Equitable Communities Memorandum of Agreement Amendment, which was subsequently approved for additional funding to go towards the repeater tower project. So we have an additional $20,000 there that we didn't think we were going to have before. So they additionally encouraged us to submit an additional project. So if all the communities don't apply for the funding and they have funding left because they budget for X amount per community for those funds, and if not everybody applies, they'll do a second round. And I'm sure the mayor will report on what we put in case there's another round of funding that's not claimed by the other communities for the playground equipment piece. And just thank you to Councilmember Owens for volunteering to come to City Hall a couple afternoons a week and answer the phones and help with basic tasks. And thanks to Ben and Sol for filling in for the meetings and the meeting prep and posting all of our required meeting postings. So we've been busy filling in, and just want to thank everybody for who's stepped up to help with that. And that's my report.
Thank you, City Administrator. Do any council members have questions for our City Administrator? Councilmember Driscoll.
Yeah, Kathy, I was wondering in terms of the clerk position, if there's any thought of running a different, finding a different position type of an advertisement where you define the position to be more what we need just to answer the phones and just to be more of a receptionist. Because when I look at the description for the city clerk, if I was a person, it's the requirements of that are pretty onerous. And I don't think there's many people maybe here who would be able, who are applying for the full clerk position. But maybe if we rewrote a position that was more just a receptionist, that would be able to just put out, you know, the fires and man City Hall until we got an official clerk, if you were thinking at all of running just a different type of a position, and maybe we would then be able to get some coverage here.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could potentially put out a temporary position for, you know, a clerk, not a city clerk, but somebody to do just like you said, answer the phones and do things, but running the meetings and understanding, you know, municipalities and everything, yeah, it's onerous, but we would not want a full-time permanent position for somebody to come in and just do the phones. we would want.
Oh, no, I meant a temporary thing that was just, you know, going to fill in until we were able to hire the official city clerk.
Right. And we will consider that probably in the next couple of weeks for sure.
Any other questions for our city administrator? Okay, I think you can all see the huge amount of work that Kathy's been turning out here. And when you see it laid out in a report like this, you get a feeling for all this stuff that goes on, a lot of it in the background, you know, in the city, that works to make our city work for the community. And there really is a lot of work. It's a lot of detail work. And Kathy does just a great job in staying on top of so many things. And I'm grateful, as always, for her role here in our city. Any other questions in? Okay, well, thank you very much, Kathy. We sure appreciate your work and your report. Okay, well, that takes us on to public comment on non-agenda items. And this is a period for public comment on non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only, but we don't get into discussions or answer questions, that sort of thing. If we do want to reply to a question or a comment, we can do that in council comments at the end of the meeting. So if anybody would like to make a public comment on a non-agenda items at this time, either raise your hand here in the room. We do have some members of the public here. If you're online, then click to then raise the hand, your hand, and we'll recognize you. If you're on the phone, you can unmute your phone. The phone will add you, or the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. So please state your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Of course, we will use respectful language at all times. We'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. So I see a hand raised from Susan W. I assume that's Susan Warner online. Susan, we'd be glad to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm deeply concerned about the efforts to close the king salmon fishery in Southeast. Would the city council consider doing some kind of a resolution and to block that effort? Thank you.
Do any council members have a question for Susan about her recommendation there? Yeah, I don't see any questions, Susan. We'll take that with and give it some good thought. Okay, do any other members of the public have a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, I don't see any more. We'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting if somebody... Oh, Susan, her end went back down. Susan, I guess you had all you expressed all you needed, I think. Yeah, her end's back. Okay, then we'll move on to the consent agenda. And the consent agenda has, let's see, four items on it. The certificate of records destruction, the introduction of FY23-21 NCO, a non-code ordinance, introduction of that's to amend some departmental budget lines as we do this time of year to adjust where we've got a little extra money in one area and need a little more in another area, and we have maybe some income to distribute. So that sort of thing is covered in that introduction. The We have FY23-22 NCO, an introduction to departmental budget. That's to appropriate to an expense line money that we've received for the Brian Waverly Memorial Project. That's a total of $1,755. That's an introduction this month, and we will have a public hearing and have it on the agenda for adoption in June. And then FY23-23 NCO capital projects funding, that's to introduce an NCO to appropriate $38,000 for the playground equipment expansion project. So do any members of the public wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda and put on to new business? Okay, I'm not seeing anything from any public members of the public. Do any council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Councilmember Owens.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move items 7 and 9 out of the consent agenda, just for the purpose of having perhaps a brief overview about the expenses concerning the budget items.
Certainly. Thank you. We will, Mr. Clerk, we will move items 7 and 9 to new business. I'll make a note down there, 7 and 9. So the consent agenda with those removed would be items 6 and 8, that's a certificate of records destruction and FY23-22 NCO for introduction to the Department of Budget on the Brian Waverly Memorial Project. And I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Taylor to adopt the consent agenda, less those two items.
I move to adopt the consent agenda as presented.
With item 6.
Yeah, item 7. Minus 7.
The item 6 and 8 on the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. Do any members of the council have any objection to approving the consent agenda now containing only items 6 and 8. Okay, then seeing no objections, items 6 and 8 are approved by unanimous consent. Okay, that moves us on to ordinance for public hearing. And we have 5 items on this. These are all items that were introduced at the April meeting to have public hearing in May and on the agenda for approval. So the first is FY23-16 NCO, the septage storage facility funding. This provides $42,000 to supplement what we have from the CARES Act and previous appropriations to provide enough money for the septic storage tanks that we have purchased, and I mean to cover the purchasing of those tanks and to cover the burial of them and the access road and the truck platform for unloading. We now estimate that we will need $42,000 more for that project. So I believe we have a motion from, well, let's see, I think we need to do a public hearing on that first. The time is 7:54, and I'll open the public hearing on that agenda item for funding of the septage storage facility. This is as introduced last month. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm seeing no hands coming up, so we'll close the public hearing at 7:54. Do any council members wish to, we'll need a, we'll need a motion on this at this point then, and Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop has a motion for us to approve this item.
Yeah, I move we approve FY23-16 NCO for the septic storage facility.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop and seconded by Council Member Tanya Lewis to approve FY23-16 NCO septic storage facility. Do we have any council comment on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anything from any others, but I'll note that we have an approved project on this. We have selected the contractor and awarded the contract already to Glacier Bay Construction. And we are still in the process of estimating, the original RFQ for it did not include the access road and the truck unloading platform next to the tanks. It covered purchasing them and burying them. We've had a meeting in the field with Justin Marchbanks of Glacier Bay Construction, and our DRC manager, Paul Berry, is staking out this week the actual route for the road as we envisioned it there on the site. He'll actually stake it. We've discussed using, since the road actually cuts through the corner of the 6-inch minus rock pile that we've got that the city owns, we're going to have to move some of that rock, but we're going to use it actually for the base of the road. So we have that material on hand, but Glacier Bay Construction will be giving us a proposal for or a cost proposal for constructing the road and the platform for unloading the material. So that would be a change order to their project. We don't have that amount yet, but our estimate is that with this $42,000, we'll have enough to cover that construction as well. Are there any questions from council members on this one? Okay, are any other comments? Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll keep you informed as we proceed on that. And John Berry is our project manager on that. And I'm kind of I'll be his sort of eyes and ears in the field as the work progresses. That takes us to item 11, FY23-17 NCO AMLIP FY23 R&R. That's for repair and replacement funds. And this is an item that is already budgeted in our operating budget, and we have this item every year in the budget as we use a little bit of our revenue that comes from taxes each year that we set aside in a special repair and replacement fund to cover our major infrastructure assets for the most part. And we follow a formula in determining, it's set forth in a policy and procedure from with previous direction from previous councils to continue to build that fund. And it also is a policy that and a process that is recommended by DCCED of the state to make sure that we're covering our future needs for repair and replacement of facilities. So this year, our contribution to that fund is $16,545.71 per that formula. And at 8 o'clock now, I will open the floor to public comment on this agenda item. Do any members of the public wish to comment? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up in the room or online, so we'll close public comment at, again, at 8 p.m. still, and we'll take it up for comment among the council. First, we need a motion from Council Member Janine Driscoll.
I move to approve the FY23-17 NCO.
Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Driscoll, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to approve FY23-17 NCO. That's the AMLIP FY23 R&R fund appropriation. Are there any comments from council members on this item? Pretty routine thing every year. Councilmember Taylor.
If I can just make a brief comment in passing, when I found out that this is something that the city does, this is another little point of pride I have in Gustavus that we're taking the time to have a scheduled depreciation for our fixed assets and setting this money aside to be prepared for when we have to replace them. So happy to see this happening and support it.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, then Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on FY23-17 NCO.
I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't hear who seconded the motion.
Councilmember Taylor seconded the motion.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
And Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. That moves us on to item 12 in the agenda, FY23-18 NCO. And this is an NCO to move $435,000 that we have sitting in checking, earning no interest, into an interest-bearing AMLIP account where it'll make a lot of interest, thousands each year at the current interest rates. So we have an NCO that we introduced last month, and I can give you an advance clue that we have discussed this in our work session, and we'll be having an amendment offered to put some of this in a different budget or a different account line than we originally called for. So we'll be seeing that. Do any members of the public have any? It's now 8:03, so I'll open public hearing for public comment on this transfer. Any members of the public wish to comment? Okay, seeing none, then at 8:04, I'll close the public hearing and we'll bring it back to the council table. Do any members of the council wish to comment on this item? That's right, we need a motion. Thank you. Got a little bit ahead here. We have a motion scheduled, I think, from Council Member Jim Muscoviac.
I move the city approve Ordinance FY23-18 NCO, an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of the city held accounts in fiscal year 2023.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Moskowiak, seconded by Councilmember Taylor, to approve FY23-18 NCO, moving surplus to the AMLIP accounts. Do any council members have a comment now on this item? Councilmember Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to move to amend this ordinance by substituting the treasurer's suggested amendment, which is shown on page 49 of the packet. It contains I don't need to go into a lot of detail. We talked about this at the work session, but my main points are that 500,000 was withdrawn from the, I wanted to give a definition of what the, we have seven AMLIP accounts. The AMLIP capital long-term improvement long-term account is for funds for capital projects in the future. The AMLIP reserves are for funds from prior year surpluses with no prescribed use. 500,000 from the reserve account was withdrawn for the Good River Bridge project. And when the city was reimbursed, it was deposited into the capital improvement long-term account. I believe we need to rebuild the reserve account to serve as a rainy day account that we save for in the event of unanticipated emergencies, such as the ransomware attacks that the Mat-Su and Valdez had and hospitals and other communities in the lower 48. Potential other litigation, such as possible slip and fall cases on the dock and playground equipment. We have 50,000 that we've set aside for disasters, but I don't know that events like this, the unanticipated events, could possibly be covered by that. Tanya's proposed that we set aside 6 months to a year of our budget needs as a true rainy day fund, which I think we should seriously consider. So I know that the AMLIP funds account funds are fungible and fluid to serve our needs, but I think that it's very important that we have a dedicated reserve fund that we don't spend money out of just in case something comes up. Thank you.
Okay, can we have a sort of a clear statement of what your motion is in a simplified form without the
okay.
The extra explanation was very important, but let's make sure we have a clear amendment here.
Okay, so the three aspects to correct the spelling typographical error of capital with an OL, which is building, to read capital with an AL. Number two would be to change the amended balance of the AMLIP capital improvement long-term account from $1,014,505.76 to $879,505.76 and reduce the change amount from $235,000 to $100,000. And third is to add the AMLIP reserve account to the city held accounts column and make a balance transfer of $135,000 as follows. This would show the AMLIP reserve account balance is starting at $342,054.46. The amended balance of $477,054.46, showing the change of $135,000. So thank you.
Thank you. May we have a second on this one?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councilmember Owens, seconded by Councilmember Bishop, to make the changes to the AMLIP capital improvement long-term budget line and add the new AMLIP reserve line as shown in the amendment on page 49 of the packet. Any comments on the amendment? Okay, I'll just indicate my support for it. I think it's a great idea. We had plenty of money in our capital improvement long-term account, and we're still expecting more money eventually to come in from FEMA. So we've got, we have enough money in our long-term savings account at this point to do the projects that we have in our planning, although some of those projects also require some significant grant money. I think putting that $135,000 of that into the AMLIP reserve is a great idea. And I appreciate Councilmember Owens' suggestion of this in the work session. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Okay, so we're voting on the amendment first, and then we vote on the...
on the amendment. Okay. Thanks for making that clear.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, the amendment is passed. That brings us back to the main motion now to approve the ordinance as it now appears on page 49 of our packet. So, any further comment on that? Okay, seeing none, it's 8:11. I didn't need to state that. It's may we have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Clerk?
Mayor Mike Taylor.
Motion.
I'm sorry, Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. That moves us to item 13 on the agenda. This is FY23-19 NCO Cul-de-Sac Improvements Project. This is a $35,000 appropriation from capital funding to construct the improved cul-de-sacs on five different roads that we've discussed this several times in our previous meetings. So I will at 8:12 open public comment on NCO FY23-19 cul-de-sac improvements projects funding of $35,000 for that project. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment at 8:13 and bring it back to the council. I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Tanya Lewis for it.
I move to approve FY23-19 NCO cul-de-sac improvement project.
And do we have a second, please?
I'll second.
We had to get a race for that one. So exciting. So it's been moved by Councilmember Lewis, seconded by Vice Mayor Bishop, to approve FY23-19 NCO, the cul-de-sac improvements project funding as introduced last month. Do any members of the council have any comments on this item? Councilmember Lewis.
I just have a question because if this figure is right for the AMLIC capital improvement long-term says 84,000, but didn't we just back here at the last amendment of the motion say that account was 879,000?
Could I cut in, Mike?
Yes, Mr. Treasurer, can you enlighten us on that?
Yes, I'm sorry. We did go through this at the work session, and without Karen, we may have missed that we needed to amend this as well. That is supposed to say AMLIP road maintenance, not AMLIP capital long improvement long term. I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, that's right. And we actually had I'm sorry, I missed that too. So thank you. We've got a correction for that that we'll need to move. And I can do that. In fact, I guess I can I'll go ahead and move to amend this item to change the line that reads AMLIP capital improvement long-term as the source of this and change it to AMLIP road maintenance, because it really is a road maintenance construction project. And so the line will read with the account balance starting at $84,181.20. The amended balance for that road maintenance account will be $49,181.20 for a change of $35,000 that matches the amount that we are appropriating for the cul-de-sac project. So that's the motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we've been seconded and thirded here. So we have a motion from the mayor to amend the ordinance FY23-19 NCO to change the line, the source of the funding for this project from the AMLIP capital improvement long-term to AMLIP road maintenance account and to draw the $35,000 from is there any comment on this amendment before we vote on the amendment? Okay, we have our city administrator would like to speak up on this. Please do, Kathy. Glad to have your comment on this.
Sorry, I was just trying to get in there before you went through all that trouble just to offer a friendly amendment to the amendment so that, given that it was just an inadvertent description error, but you already offered up the amendment. So just in cases like that, just for future reference, you can offer up a friendly amendment.
Okay, well, I hope all our amendments are friendly. Okay. Then are there any other comments before we vote on the amendment? Okay, so it's been moved to amend the main motion regarding ordinance FY23-19 NCO to change the origin account of the funding to AMLIP road maintenance as shown on page 52 of the packet and to draw the $35,000 from that. Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikowiak?
I'll offer a friendly yes vote.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes. All in favor?
Okay, that brings us back to the main motion, which now is to adopt ordinance FY23-19 as amended and shown on page 52 of the packet with the money for the cul-de-sac improvement project with $35,000 now coming from the AMLIP road maintenance budget line. You know, is there any other council comment on this? Sounds like we got it figured out. Okay, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll move forward. Glacier Bay Construction will be doing that using the road maintenance. The provisions we already have for annual road maintenance as their guidance. Okay, that brings us to yet another NCO, a little bit bigger one. Item 14 is FY23-20 NCO to adopt the FY24 budget as introduced in April 10 meeting. And do we have any public comment on the budget as it was introduced last month and is up for approval this month? Okay, we have some comment here in the room.
Mike, before you do that, is this part of the public hearing? Do we need to
call time? Yes, this is a public, I'm sorry, this is, we've opened public hearing. I forgot to call it public hearing. And so let's see, we've opened it at 8:20 a.m. or p.m. Thank you, Mr. Treasurer, for catching me on that one. And we have our two librarians wishing to make a comment on the budget.
Good evening, Council. I'm Leanne Weichel, your Library Services Director, and Jesse Soder, the Administrative Director. We sincerely appreciate all the work that has gone into the FY24 budget. We also understand there are many factors that influence how a city budget is decided. There are many subtleties. Between the two of us, we have attended most and maybe all work sessions and meetings since the FY24 budget was introduced. We've heard many questions, comments, but there's one thing we haven't heard discussed and we're concerned about it. In the proposed FY24 budget, the funding for the materials budget at the library has been decreased by 40%. Our materials budget includes what we purchase: books, DVDs, games, magazines, and our local newspapers, anything a patron might check out of the library. For our library, our materials budget is spent predominantly on books. We understand that the city has had to make cuts. We understand that all departments need to have cuts made. We're not arguing that cuts shouldn't be made. We have had cuts made in our supply and equipment budget, our cleaning budget, which is contractual services, and we feel those are reasonable. Tonight, we're here to make sure the council understands that our materials budget has been cut significantly. We have not heard it be questioned or discussed in any of the work sessions or meeting we've attended, which is why we are calling your attention to it this evening.
Sir, my voice is softer. So the FY24 library budget has been rearranged with grant funding being added as income. And in previous budgets, it was not included. And we agree that it should be included. It had been kept separate. The PLA grant is a state grant that we apply for and receive each year for $7,000. That's intended for at least half of it to be spent on materials. And our library has always spent 100% of it on materials. In FY23, in addition to the $7,000 from the PLA grant, we also had $6,200 from city funding to spend on materials, along with about $700 from donations, for a total of $13,900 to spend on materials. In the proposed FY24 budget, we have the $7,000 from the PLA grant, $700 in city funding, and about $800 from donations, for a total of $8,500 to spend on materials. So the difference between the fiscal year 23 and 24 materials budget isn't easily apparent when you look at the budget, the proposed fiscal year 24 budget, because of the addition of the PLA grant as income and then some other reorganization that's been done. And so our concern is that our materials budget won't meet the needs of our community of Gustavus. And with the proposed fiscal year 24 budget, that includes a 40% cut, which is $5,400 in our materials budget, there'll be a noticeable difference in the amount of new and current materials that will be on the shelves. Thank you all.
Hey, do any council members have any questions to ask of our librarians regarding their comments on the materials budget? Councilmember Lewis.
So I feel like this is the first time hearing of this, and I maybe this isn't so much a question for you two, but in this process, you know, early, we've been talking about the budget for several months now, and I guess I just wonder how it didn't come to our attention before. Maybe there was no other opportunity, but it just seems a little bit, I mean, we have the money. I feel like we, the city has the money for materials for the library. But at this point, I think we're about to pass the budget. So I guess it could be a resolution. But is there any way that in the future we could deal with this earlier, I guess?
In our role as city employees, we've been working with the city administrator and the mayor and have expressed our concerns there. If there was a different time or a different place, we felt tonight was the first time we actually were given the latitude to make a public comment about it that would include the entire council. I don't, if there's something we misunderstood in the process, we would welcome knowing about that because we don't like how late this is coming to.
Yeah, thanks. I understand that. I mean, I was under the assumption that the departments were kind of driving the amounts that they were getting.
We asked for it to be the same as fiscal year 23.
Thanks.
Any other questions for the librarians and councilmember? Yeah, I see Kathy on it all. I'm going to go to Kathy after council members. Okay. Thank you very much. That's helpful input to the council. And I'm going to go to Cassie Leary and ask as a staff report for some of the background on how we sorted that out. So maybe that'll be helpful in answering some of the questions here.
Can you hear me? I had a hard time hearing the last part of that. We have had meetings with our treasurer going over this process, and in the past, the public library grant was not included in the revenue, and we felt for transparency purposes it should be included in the revenue, because then when materials and supplies were being added to the budget, it was not really shown or seen or known that or that amount of materials was already getting used and purchased under that. Additionally, in terms of the supplies budget, if you go back for the last couple of years and especially look at the annual reports from 2020 and 2021, there was an increase in supplies and material, well, supplies in particular, but those were specifically related to COVID, and there was additional supplies added into the budget to take care of specific cleaning and COVID-related supplies that are no longer pertinent. So the budget had been increased, yes, over a couple of years, but now it's just back to close to actually more than what it was prior to that, but still less than what it was when the COVID supplies were added to the budget for specific measures related to COVID. Additionally, I believe Ben, the treasurer, can add to some of these issues, but we did want to point out that, you know, in the past, the budget was also used for things like power and keeping the lights on and things like that. And now it's used, the whole PLA grant's used for materials. So we felt that it was fairly substantial for our size of the community, and that we no longer required the extra couple of $1,000 that was allotted during COVID for all of the COVID supplies that were in addition to the regular supply budget in the past. So I just wanted to explain that, and Ben maybe has something to add to that. I think we should maybe take a second look at the percentages and how they were arrived at, and I'd be happy to do that.
Do we have any council questions for the city administrator? Okay, thanks, Kathy. And thank you guys for your comment. We'll have some discussion that I think will also really, totally relate to that. Did you have a question for me?
So my question would just be, I was under the understanding that we were moving things around because of putting the grant information in, and I thought that it would be the same amount, that it was just moving things around, and I wasn't aware that there was a cut in that. And so I feel that when we were given the information about what the library spending was, I agree with what Tanya says, is that it was under the understanding that this was done in conjunction with input from the librarians. And so it's quite a surprise to hear that it's not.
Do you have is that a question for Kathy or?
Just if there was some way to clarify as to why it was seemingly presented one way, but yet it's now seemingly another way.
It sounds, maybe this is a point of order, it sounds like that's something for us to discuss in council comments, and I can address that. Do any other members of the public, it looks like we have another member of the public, would you like to step up to the mic, please?
I'm Bonnie Harris, and I'm a library volunteer, and I see a lot of what happens there, and I'm glad to hear Tanya say that there's probably money there, because I would hate to see the library's materials budget in particular cut. I see what goes on there many days of the week, and it involves a lot of school kids. It involves an arts program. It involves music program. It involves reading story time. It involves book clubs. It involves members of the public that I see coming into the library. The first thing, most of them, I would say 90% of them, stand for 10 or 15 minutes and look at the new bookshelf. And, you know, trying to run a library without a materials budget that is adequate, sort of like trying to run a grocery store without being able to buy food. So, and that's, you know, I'm just putting that out there.
Wait for a second. Any council members have a question for Bonnie Harris? Other comments here? Okay, thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments on the on our proposed budget here? Okay, then I'll close public hearing at 8:33 p.m. and bring it back to the council. And I'm going to begin with a motion to approve the budget. So I move to approve FY23-20 NCO, the FY24 budget as introduced. And we're going to have a treasurer's recommended amendment for some items on this, but I'm moving to adopt it as introduced to begin with. We have a second, please.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mayor Taylor, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to approve the FY23-20 NCO budget. And so now we'll open the floor for council comments on this, and including we're going to move the at some point we'll move the treasurer's recommended changes. Our Vice Mayor Bishop.
So with what's presented to us today by our librarians and volunteers, I would just like to say that I would support increasing this, and I was kind of blindsided by this. So what's our path forward with being at this point in the budget? Just approve it and then a resolution later.
Okay, here, maybe I can provide some background on this. I set a policy on developing the budget. This is the mayor's budget. So the mayor ultimately is responsible for it. We work with the departments to get requests for what they would like to have, or what they expect for income, and what they believe they need for expense in the various categories. We work with the treasurer to work that into a budget. And I set a requirement that we have to balance the budget, and part of balancing the budget is to include income that is carryover from the previous year. I decided that we were not going to depend on any carryover from previous year that we weren't certain that we had. In other words, there are some items that we know we're not spending money on, an audit, a single audit, because we don't need it for this last year, but we will need it for the next year. So we know we're going to carry over. We won't have that expense, and that's available for carryover. There were several other items. I can't remember exactly what they all were, but we knew that we wouldn't need as much money for professional services from the city attorney as we had put in. And we knew that we're assuming that we weren't going to have another major disaster this year. So the $50,000 that we put into the budget for use only if there is a disaster, and that is intended each year to be rolled over if there is no disaster that requires it. So we're assuming that we are going to roll that over. So our total rollover was that we could count on was $100,000. So we balanced the budget against our conservative estimates of income and that conservative estimate of rollover from this year of unexpended funds. We know we will have more, we're confident we will have more income than we're using in our estimate. And we will also have more carryover than $100,000. But to make sure that we were being conservative in how we developed this budget, we developed a budget that we thought would be adequate, would get us through the year if we didn't have that other income. If we didn't have as much carryover available as we really expect to have, but we're limiting ourselves to what we're certain about on that. So that meant that we had to work with the treasurer to work through our budget and decide what areas in most departments we could take a little bit out of to make sure that we balance the budget conservatively as we have told the public we would do. Now we have a plan to look again once we close out this year and know really what our carryover is. We will take another look at the budget. That would probably be in July or August, and consider whether we should put a little money back into some of those line items, which might include the library's materials budget. Until then, the library's got enough money to get them certainly through most of the year. We've got plenty of time during the year to boost that budget if it turns out that they need that I mean, they really can use that profitably or usefully to provide the services to that the public needs. So so I think we've had to spread a little bit of those cuts through the department. We're lucky to be in the kind of financial condition that we are. Most cities have to cut their budget far more severely than we did to meet the limits that I set in doing the budget. We actually have, you know, cut relatively small amounts from each of the department budgets where we thought it was the right place to do it. And as Kathy mentioned, last year's library budget had extra funding, some of it from the pandemic funding and so forth, and also a need for supplies and things to make possible the curbside services and other things that the library did so well to keep our services going during the pandemic under the difficult conditions that presented themselves. So we don't have some of the expenses for materials, or we don't have the same kinds of expenses that we had last year. So that was another reason for, as Kathy mentioned, for feeling that we didn't need quite as much in the supply budget, at least to get them going for the year. So I don't know if that helps. Councilmember Lewis.
So I don't know if you know this offhand, or maybe Ben, how much is, maybe the librarian said this, but I don't know the amount that is short from last year in terms of materials, the 5,400. So I guess my opinion is that if, you know, the two librarians feel like there should be $5,400 more for materials this year, I mean, we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for road stuff and, you know, $65,000 for septic. And I mean, it's not that much money. And the library is such an important part of our town. We also got a letter from Meadowbrook supporting the library and funding for the library. It seems to me to be a pretty minor amount if it offers peace of mind to the librarians that they can continue to offer the incredible service that they do.
Any other council comments?
I would just be interested in if it's possible to sort of quantify of that 5,400, how much of it went to COVID supplies?
We could call the librarians back to answer. This is a staff input.
The 5,400 difference, it was sounding to me like the materials budget had incorporated last year that there was of the 13,000 that some of that was COVID supplies and materials.
So materials would be books, DVDs, magazines, things that go on the shelves, things that patrons are checking out. Supplies is something completely different. So supplies would be art materials, toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning materials, things like that, masks. We bought a lot of masks in the last year or two with supply money. It's different than materials. And so that 5,400 that we're short is materials money, which is books, DVDs, magazines, things that go on our shelves for patrons.
Okay.
So the restructuring of the how the grant was included in there, and we also understand every department needed to take their cuts, and we do have cuts in our supply dollars. We have cuts in our contractual service dollars,
which is cleaning.
There was a third area.
The program supplies.
Program supplies were those were all areas that were cut that we feel like
Oh, and equipment too.
And equipment.
Yeah.
We feel like, okay, we can operate and still provide what the city of Gift State expects from the library. The one we don't agree with is the materials budget. It will affect our ability to do what we do at the library.
Questions for them?
No, this isn't for the two of them. This is just for the council. It's all right.
Sure.
I mean, just look at this scenario again with what Tanya's saying. You know, for the peace of mind with the amount of money that we move around and do different things, it seems sort of insignificant to give the peace of mind to this. So I guess I got a thorough explanation of how we got here, but I would really like to just know what our path forward is to make sure that we provide the peace of mind and pad the materials budget to where it should be, because frankly, these two and our volunteer do not need to be here. This is them advocating for their materials budget and them doing what we pay them to do, which is use their expertise, and they're taking their time to do this. So I think we should honor that, and whether that's today or a promise to move forward in a direction where we will reevaluate in July or August, I would like to just advocate for doing our part to make sure that this is not an issue.
Other council comments? Councilmember Taylor?
I can chime in on this. I guess I'm really just reiterating a lot of what Kyle and Tanya have said here, but I mean, we're one of the things that we are looking at doing it, although I think Ben may have even said he's done it already with, you know, moving the almost $450,000 of AMLIP funds into the right account, or funds into the AMLIP accounts. I mean, we're looking at like 3.5 months of interest is enough to completely resolve this. So it's not a huge ask. So I agree. Maybe we just commit to addressing this even just directly after we've, you know, month or so after we've passed the budget. I'm not terribly concerned one side or the other exactly how this comes out, because it seems like it's going to be a pretty small fish as far as budget dollars go. So I'm strongly in support of making sure that they, I mean, this is something everyone is seems to be pretty much in support of. So I'm not feeling like we're going to have a really contentious vote on this necessarily.
Well, I guess I see there seems to have been a breakdown in this process, and there's, you know, Mr. Mayor, you've been working on this budget for a long time, and there is always more to the story than we know, and I'm not sure what the best path forward is. It's not much money. However, the process, obviously something communication wise or something broke down. So I'm not sure how to proceed either. I feel like the council's in a tough spot right now, actually, either siding with the librarians or siding with the mayor's budget, you know? So any advice you have, Mike, moving forward where we can reconcile this so everyone's happy would be great.
Okay, I can help you with what the options are here.
Mayor?
Yeah, I'll let the city administrator chime in with more information with her comments on this first before I give you the options.
Okay, so our treasurer is charged with coming up with a balanced budget, and they've been given that mantra over and over and over again. So right now Ben can give us the exact number, but I think we're $400 and some odd to the good to come out to a zero balanced budget. And all of these things were gone over. We had meetings several times with all of our staff, and we had meetings with myself and the mayor and the librarians, and we explained and we added money back in certain places, and I would like to suggest that we go with what was moved forward, and then once all of the percentages and dollars and former expenditures can be worked out, if the council then wishes to do an NCO to add more money to the budget, then they're perfectly capable and would within their, you know, their duties to be able to do that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's part of what I was going to say. Here, the options are, I'll back up and say we're trying to meet the expectations of the community to be conservative in our budgeting. And we're talking about the operating budget here, so it's separate from capital expenditures, and we use we spend money for capital projects from capital savings, that is money left over from our surpluses from the operating budget over the years. So that's kind of a separate set of money. The operating budget is the expenses that we have routinely to operate the departments and the functions, including the library, and provide all the great services they do. The operating budget should balance its the expenses with the revenues. And that's always an estimate, because we don't know exactly what our revenues will be or what our expenses will be. And so we try to estimate them and come up with a conservatively balanced budget. So that's what we did with the plan that when we closed out this year and really knew what our carryover was, that then we could distribute some more of that carryover with the departments. And some of that could, if the council decided to, go to the materials and budget in the library. But the options right now are either we do that and stick with our, with the treasurer's adjustments to a few accounts. Right now we have a $422 surplus on our, a balanced budget. We balanced it with that much, with just $400 in surplus, $422. So we can adopt the budget with the few line items of adjustment that the treasurer is proposing. Look at it again after we know after we've closed out this fiscal year and really know how much carryover we have. I don't want to overestimate carryover, but I've been conservative in doing that. So the option is to do that, or if you wish to amend the budget, that's what this whole process is about. The council can propose an amendment and we can vote on it to change that materials expense line. But then you'd have to also determine where the money's going to come from. And the obvious thing to do that would be to make a similar increase in what we expect to be the carryover from this year. So instead of if you were proposing it, say a $5,000 increase to their materials budget, you would have to also amend the expected line from the carryover from this year. And you're making a judgment on whether it's still the kind of budget that you feel is responsible. So if somebody wants to make an amendment like that, we can address the amendment, or we can pass it without those increases and address it in August after we know what our carryover is. Councilmember Owens.
To clarify, we could, I don't know if this would be a friendly amendment. We currently
they're all friendly. We We all support the library. It's just a matter of when and exactly how we fund it.
So move that $422. That's one option, right? Two is to amend the budget to add materials line, which may put us under the balancing of the budget. And three is to wait until August and see what we have, what sources of. Do I understand those right?
Yeah, right. If you added $422, well, something like that to their budget, yeah. That would get them with a little bit more money, but not as much as they were wanting. You'd still probably adjust it, you know, might want to adjust it later in the year if we felt, you know, looked at how their book purchases are going. I mean, prices of books are going up. That's another argument in favor of their concern about the budget. So, you know, we very well, I mean, we do NCOs to move money in the budget all the time during the year. We can do that. So you could move something like $422.95, and we would have a budget that balances exactly at zero after, if we adopt the treasurer's suggested amendment, which we haven't got to yet. Another thing we could do, the treasurer's suggested amendment, and then do an amendment afterwards regarding this budget line, if you want. It's up to you guys. Vice Mayor?
My suggestion would be that we approve it as is with the amendments that Ben's proposing, should we decide to approve that, and look at it again in August to determine how much, not if, but how much, as we can take a deeper look at it, because with moving things around right now is kind of complicated. But I would just like to show my support for doing that and working with you all on what would work.
Any other council member Lewis?
I guess I like that approach for, you know, now just being like the final hour of approving this budget and the fact that it's balanced, and that's very important to many community members. So is the library. So if we just promise to revisit this in August, sometimes I question whether we do ourselves a favor by being so conservative about our income. Because we always end up with more surplus than we think, and then but the departments have already gotten their money, and maybe it's just more of a process of or getting into the habit of, once that surplus is known, divvying it up between the departments to you know, fill in lapses in funding that are being experienced. So I think that's a good approach for where we're at right now.
And by the way, remember that we have an NCO that we just introduced tonight. We'll act on next month. That NCO brings into the budget revenue side several tens of thousands, maybe $60,000 in income, that because we always estimate our income low, and we will distribute that. You know, a good portion of that extra income that we now know that we have for this year to various expense categories in the department. That's what we're doing on that. So there are multiple opportunities to do this. But the first one really is after we close out this year and know how much carryover we have. Carryover is money in the bank. It's certain we already have it. It's money that came in the previous year. We're not guessing about it, but it's there. So it's the best kind of it's the best piece of the revenue side, because we're not estimating it. So Councilmember Driscoll.
So when do we get that number?
We should, as soon as we close out this year. I won't ask Mr. Treasurer, when do you expect that we would be closing out?
The
July, August or so, usually?
Usually it happens later than that, but the accountants who are going to perform the audit, because of the threshold that we exceeded this year, they want to come in October. And before they can come to do the audit, we have to close out fiscal year 23. So we'll have that done by October.
Yeah, and we can do it. It is possible to do it much sooner. We just have to, it just takes some process to make sure we paid all the bills that, you know, that have come in that were assigned to the previous year, and that we have, have in fact all of the income properly accounted for. So it can be done earlier than October, and I would think that it might be as early as, say, August. That's what I'm guessing. But we've got enough money in the budget for every department to get them, well, if necessary, to get them through the whole year. But so we don't have to do it like in July or even August. Member Driscoll.
So this then is a process that happens every year where there's this carryover money. Is that what you're saying? And is there a process as to what do we reconvene? What is there a process to deal with that, or how is that money usually handled?
Usually we estimate in the budget the carryover. Now, last year they estimated 300, or they, I mean, we've got, when it gets down to it, all that money in AMLIP is carryover, so from previous years, and it all could be used in the operating budget. Last year, the city administrator proposed $300,000 in carryover just because he knew we were going to have a lot of carryover. And we really didn't need any, we probably didn't need any of it. I would like to instead move that extra carryover into the AMLIP savings, such as the reserve account and the capital account, rather than showing it as more income for the next year's budget. We keep kind of inflating the apparent. I mean, if we do that, we would continually inflate the apparent revenue from the year. Some of the, a lot of the carryover that we have each year, we probably shouldn't carry over into the next year. We should put it into our savings for capital things instead. So does that make, I don't know if that makes sense. We're trying not to inflate our carryover and not to overestimate. We want to be more realistic about what the carryover really is. What's the difference between what we spent during the last year and what we had for revenue? And that's carryover, because we always come out with more money than we spent. So, but I don't want to continually move money from previous years and inflate the carryover that way. I think it's a tighter budgeting process if we do that. That's my view, at least. So, what I would like to do at this, I mean, that can still be on the table if you want to, if somebody at some point wishes to raise an amendment. What I would like to do first, though, is move to amend the budget with the treasurer's suggested amendment that begins on page 14, and the changes to the budget that he has in here are highlighted in yellow on beginning on page 93 and so forth. You'll see highlights, and those are our budget lines that are changes. And so I'd like the treasurer to actually read this before it begins. Yeah, it begins, I think, on. The whole thing begins on page 92, I think. So, Mr. Treasurer, Clerk, could you give us a summary of the few items that you're suggesting that we change and why?
Yes. So these are going to be out of order because I don't have it in front of me. But the first one is I took $1,128 from the DRC's telecommunications because they're now receiving free internet from Byte Networking. I added $1,000 to penalties and interest because we needed to balance the budget, and I had it at zero, even though we usually make between $2,000 and $4,000 a year. I had left it at zero hoping we wouldn't have to budget for interest and penalties, but in the end, in order to balance the budget and not guess at another category, I put that there. Janine Driscoll suggested that we remove the words sales from the total tax income. And so I removed the word sales. Kathy Leary suggested that the library separate out dues and fees from things like subscriptions and other items that we, tangible items that, you know, like magazines or things that you could actually hold in your hand. And so the library did that. So dues and fees changed, and that money was then put into library materials. And I think that was, it could go up, Kyle.
The library materials went up to 8,500 in your thing already, right?
So I'm not understanding this at all.
Yeah.
No.
But if you've got a question for the treasurer, ask the treasurer. Councilmember Lewis.
So say the line item for library materials, for example, is highlighted at 8,500, but what was it before?
Jesse might know that number. It was 2,700.
So is this the $5,000 in question? No.
This is the PLA grant, right? Which wasn't included in the previous version of the budget because we were matching values.
Okay.
Because how much is the PLA?
7,000.
Which is used for materials. It's our first go-to for materials. And that's all paid from grant outside of our budget. But we take it in as income, and we spend it in the library materials line. It used to be some of that was spent for other things in the library, but we put it all in the materials.
Previously, the way it was set up was there was a line item for library materials, and PLA grant was separate. They had the opportunity to say, when they put in their purchase order request, we want this money to come out of the PLA grant, or we want this money to come out of library materials. And so that's how it was set up before. Now that with it in the income, now all of it will come out of library materials.
Okay. And you have some, so was there, then does the total library materials budget line go up in this amendment compared to the previous? That was what I think was being asked.
Yes, the original library materials was not $8,500. Without it sitting in front of me, I can't say how much it was. It should be in the packet.
We can actually go back and look at it.
It was 2,000 in the pack, or in the previous unamended version.
Okay, so the previous unamended version you said is 2,000. I'm sorry, what line is that? Line 9. Find that in the right page.
That's on page 65 in the packet. It's sitting it. I'm looking right at it, 2,000.
Right. Right. So that budget line has gone up from 2,000 to 8,500.
Mm-hmm.
But the grant didn't come out. We didn't have expenses coming out elsewhere. It's not like we moved the expense line from someplace else. You have a budget of 8,500 for library materials, right? Is what it would be.
7,000 of that 8,500 coming from the.
That's correct, and we're delightful that that's the case. Well, on point of order, we don't have public comment going on right now. So, so that's a budget line, and the budget line for library materials right now would be $8,500 under the treasurer's proposed amendment. And yeah, I'd forgotten earlier that we actually, that was one of the things we targeted with this adjustment. Okay, then we've got some other changes. We have a telecommunications line is highlighted yellow.
That was the $1,123 I took from the DRC to because they were going to be using Byte networking for free.
Right. Okay. So that's all of the that's all of the changes in your proposed amendment. So if we adopt that amendment, the budget then balances at with a surplus of $422.95. Is there any comment from the council, any further comment from the council members on the proposed changes from the treasurer as shown in the packet? I'm sorry, it's behind the thing, treasurer's suggested amendment. So the budget would reflect the numbers in there with the changes that you see highlighted. The revenue and some cases revenue and expenses. Any council member Taylor?
I certainly support this amendment and think it's a step in the right direction. I guess maybe this might be a better comment for after we vote on this amendment, but for being speaking now, I'll just mention this. I'm noting we have a line item for interest income that is expecting $0 in interest income. And we have almost $2 million in the AMLIP account yielding 4.7% right now. So it seems like it would be really easy to just add some interest income if that's prudent to do, to consider that actually gained as interest income. I can pull up my calculator and run the numbers on that. I mean, even if we are very prudent and conservative, we'll be.
And we're making 4%.
4.7 is the current SEC 7-day yield, and the Fed is going higher for longer. So, I mean, it's not going to drop with the securities that they're holding.
Mr. Treasurer, any comments on that interest line for income?
The operating budget for the city of Gustavus should be. No, the community has expressed interest in the operating budget for the city of Gustavus being based around taxes and things like landfill fees and, you know, the things that we charge money for. The AMLIP accounts have always been held separate from that. And so I don't know that we want to start using the AMLIP accounts to fund the operating budget. If we start doing that, I don't know where do we draw the line on that. I think that the AMLIP accounts are savings accounts, and that the operating budget needs to be based on money that we bring in through sales tax revenue and other things that we charge for.
I think that makes sense. I would be really interested maybe in another session where we're not kind of like under the gun on the budget to have a discussion about, specifically we're talking about trying to have a future where we have a 1 year budget sitting in savings for the express purpose of generating interest income so we don't have to tax people. So I think at some point we should come around to a discussion of how that works into the operating budget if that's our eventual goal. Maybe that's not the moment. Maybe this isn't the moment for that. But in any case, I mean, that makes me feel very comfortable whether we pass this with an NCO down the line. I think we have more than enough wiggle room. That's like $60,000 of interest income. I would also, this is again kind of me off in the weeds, but I'd be interested to sit down with you, Ben, at some point to try and key in better to exactly what can be expected from the AMLIP accounts as far as, like, is this interest bearing and legitimate interest, or would that be something we'd have to line item as investment income because if it could possibly go down, then that's not a gain that we realize until we pull it out of the account. So I'm hesitant on this, mostly for my lack of super clear understanding on how those accounts work. So I think with a better understanding of that and some better discussion about how we're planning on looking to use these funds, if we do set aside something for interest income going forward, we can definitely hopefully avoid this in the future.
Yeah, I could say that in the past, AMLIP interest used to be very low. Yeah, it was something that was kind of incidental. And now with interest rates, what they are now and what they're likely to stay at for some time, that makes it very timely to consider that. I mean, and it, just as it was timely to move as much money into an interest-bearing account as we could. So, yeah, this is something I hadn't thought about, Mr. Treasurer. So the penalties and interest line does not include AMLIP interest then. And what sorts of interest are included in, if that's the,
If you pay your sales tax late to the city of Gustavus, then we charge you 15% interest per year and penalties up to a certain percentage based on how long it takes you to pay your sales tax on time. Or remit. I'm sorry, not pay. Remit.
Okay, good. So that it's that kind of that's interest payments that are mainly due to late payments on sales tax and this sort of thing.
That's
so great. We could consider in the future having a an interest line for earned interest on savings accounts and actually included in the budget. So it's actually showing as revenue to the city. I think that might be well worth thinking further about how we would do that. Okay, so we any other comment? I have moved to amend the budget to adopt the changes, the amendment proposed by the treasurer. Is there any other comment on that amendment? Okay, Mr. Treasurer, may we have a roll call vote on the amendment, please, to adopt the treasurer's suggested amendment to the budget, changing those items that are highlighted in yellow.
Does someone need to second that?
Second.
I think we did have it.
Yeah, I seconded. I seconded it to open discussion on it.
Yeah. So it was moved by the mayor and seconded by the by Council Member Taylor.
Okay, I'm sorry. Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Tony Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim McCoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Jimmy Grissel?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thanks. So we have a budget for next year, and we're a month ahead of our deadline. So that's
no, I'm sorry, Mike. Didn't we just pass the amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Yes, that's the amendment. I'm jumping ahead. We still get to do this. Okay, that brings us. Thank you. I'm thinking ahead here too fast. That brings us back to the main motion. Do we have any other comment on the main motion before we vote on that? Okay. Councilmember Driscoll.
So you outlined some of the options we can have in terms of including this materials amount that's been requested. Is it possible to amend it where we put the materials amount in now and we do put a income of that amount in the coming in as the interest amount, and then we end up with the budget balance?
Something like that would be possible, yes.
Mike, Tanya has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Treasurer, yes.
Tanya has her hand up.
Yeah, Tanya. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm torn still, but I just feel like there is a discrepancy between the administration and the librarians that I think should be worked. I think we should, there should be a chance to work that out. I would feel better adding that with the blessing of everyone, like we're all on the same page. But I am definitely committed to making up for the lack, you know, with our surplus that will undoubtedly come in the next couple of months. But I, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards putting it off a little bit so that there's chance for everyone involved in this process to get on the same page, because that doesn't seem like that's the case right now. Does that make sense?
I'd comment that we did have a several hour meeting with the administrative librarian to go over these things. So we, you know, we did spend quite a bit of time and thought about it quite a bit. And I think we've got a, in my view, we're in a pretty good position right now to fund materials for the library, and we can fund more later if we need to. But, Councilmember Taylor.
To your point, Janine, I think we could do that. I think that Ben did raise a good point that adding interest income to the budget does kind of set a precedent. And I would personally be interested to have a little bit more discussion about how we plan to do that and do it responsibly before we just go ahead and throw it right in, personally.
Okay, any other comments before we return to the main motion? Okay, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on the adoption of the budget?
Councilmember Shelley Owens. Councilmember Janine Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikowiak.
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop.
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis.
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, well, now we have a budget. So, but the budget is a somewhat fluid thing, and we can adjust as we go forward. And I think the discussion has suggested some interesting areas to for minor restructuring of it here and there, like particularly with regard to the interest. Yes, why don't we have a 5-minute break? We're already 9:20. I'm sorry it's running as long as we are.
Are you guys still on?
Yeah, we took a, we're taking a break, Kathy.
Okay, I couldn't hear anything. I wasn't sure.
Sorry if I didn't say it loudly enough for you. I guess we're a little, in a little low volume going out. Oh. Okay, it's 9:27, and we'll reconvene after our break. We still got several important items left to do, including the Snug Harbor item. This brings us now to new business, and we have two items, there were 7 and 9 that we moved from the consent agenda to new business. So let's go back to item 7, which was introduction of amendment to department budgets, as introduced 6-12-23, and we've got it pulled up there. Mr. Treasurer, would you like to give a quick review on what this is, and then we'll have open it for public comment?
Sure. So every year, it's considered best practices to try to bring the fiscal year you're in at the end of the year, it's to bring the categories to within as close to 10% of the actual revenue or the actual expense. To bring everything in line. So that's what I've done here. I've added $60,000 to our income. I'm sure I could have added more based on on how things panned out as we came out of the third quarter. But I felt that that was a nice conservative number. And so that's what I added to income. On the expense side, all of these items needed for whatever reason were budgeted for less than the categories ended up costing us. So I've added money to bring them more in line. A few things on the second page, which I can't see, were actually expenses that we did not end up making. Like the marine facilities did not need $53,000 for contractual services. That was based on if we had to have Tricano or someone come from Juno to move the float. I'd estimated wrong on the float repairs we were going to need to do, so we didn't need that $18,000, so I put that back in. So basically this brings the items more into reality, or with what reality is, and so the total gain for the budget was $63,213.19 in our favor. So that's what this is.
And this is an introduction. So what is on the agenda is to approve the introduction of this NCO with and to schedule it for public hearing on June 12th. Remember, so that's all it is. We're not actually acting on it. At this point, we're merely introducing it. There'll be a public hearing in June. Okay, so that's what that's about. We can, since it's now in new business, that opens or makes it possible for us to have public comment on this. So are there any, hang on a sec, do I need a motion first? Let's see. Okay, now we need to start with a motion before we have public comment. So so I will move to introduce FY23-21 NCO, the amendment to departmental budgets as the treasurer has presented. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by the mayor, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to introduce FY23-21 NCO amendment of departmental budgets. And so I will open the item for public comment on this item. Do any members of the public wish to make comment on this budget, on the introduction of this NCO? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the table. Do any council members have any comment on the introduction of this item or questions about it? Okay. Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote to introduce item 7, FY23-21 NCO.
Councilmember,
schedule it for public hearing next month.
Okay. Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. That moves us to item 9, now under taken under new business. And this is to introduce, actually, I think it doesn't say that on it, but it is to introduce FY23-23 NCO capital project funding for the playground equipment expansion project, and it's a total of $38,000. We have it up on there. Yeah, and the funding is coming from the AMLIP capital improvement project, and we've estimated about $27,000 to purchase the equipment that our team has decided would be the best choice for expanding the park equipment to provide better equipment for older children. And I think I showed you during the work session what the equipment was, and the kids were all really excited about those items out of all the proposals that we got from three different manufacturers. And then I estimated maybe another $10,000, as much as that, for constructing a pad out there and assembling and installing the equipment. I'll put another $1,000 on top of that in case we wanted to maybe buy some benches or do a wheelchair ramp or something like that associated with it. So that brought it up to, I'm asking for $38,000 to fund the installation of that, the purchase and installation of that equipment. So I will move that one also. So I'll move to introduce FY23-23 NCO capital project funding for the Salmon River Park Playground Equipment Expansion Project and to schedule it for public hearing in June. Excuse me, Mr. Treasurer, I am correct that that's where we are on this. It is an introduction, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was not misstating that. So it's introduction. We're introducing it now, and we will have public hearing and pass it next month. So I've moved to introduce that. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Councilmember Taylor seconds it. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item, playground equipment? Okay, I'm seeing none. I'll bring it back to the council. Do any council members wish to comment on the introduction of this NCO for playground equipment funding? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please, to approve the introduction.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay. That brings us to item 15, which is a quasi-judicial matter. The Snug Harbor Liquor Company has filed its request for a license renewal with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, and the City of Gustavus has the opportunity can protest or, you know, any liquor license renewal or new liquor license, or it can waive the right to protest. We have a right to protest that. This is, as I mentioned, is a quasi-judicial matter, and because we act as a board of equalization, sort of, and to decide a matter like this. And all of the information is included in our packet to look at the application. As I directed you in the work session, we don't do any investigations of the site with regard to making some determination in advance of whether the license should be renewed. So the hearing, we make all of our judgment based on evidence at the hearing, which includes what's in the packet, the license approval. And I will call the owner of Snug Harbor Liquor to make any comments that she wishes to do it. So, but first I need to ask per the policy on this, whether any council members have a conflict of interest regarding the applicant for the liquor license, or whether you've had any ex parte discussions with the owner of it or regarding the liquor license. You know, that doesn't mean you can't have gone into the store to buy a product. But so are there any, does anybody have anything to declare? Okay, none, that's great. So I will then open it for public testimony, and I would like first to ask if the applicant, Colleen Stansberry, would like to comment on her liquor license renewal application. And thank you for being patient waiting through this long meeting to have you at the end of the agenda. I'm sorry.
I'm just doing this once. You guys do this all the time.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me. I really don't have any comments. This is our 16th year. I guess I have some comments. This is our 16th year. We have never had any violations. We've never been cited for any impropriety or anything. We take it very, very seriously as a civic responsibility, knowing that the vote for this liquor store was close. So we're very serious about it. I think we run a really good business. I just have a couple of numbers to give you that I thought might be interesting. City tax 2021, $17,000, 2022, $16,000. So that goes into the city pockets. Our payroll, so just wages, not workman's comp, just wages. Our payroll, 2021, $49,000, 2022, $60,000. That's money into this community. And then the local freight company, which is also, I'm going to say it's money into this community, is 2021, $40,000, 2022, $28,000. So the reason those are weird numbers is because in the last 2 years, we've had to purchase product in the previous year because of the ferry not running. I will answer any questions anybody has.
Do any council members have a question for applicant Colleen Stansberry? I guess not. Well, we thank you very much for your testimony, and we'll proceed on through our process here. Thank you. Do any other members of the public wish to comment on the renewal of the liquor license for Snug Harbor Liquor? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up. So I'll close public hearing at 9:42. By the way, we start. I didn't say when we started, but it would be about 9:39. So it's now closed at 9:42. And we will entertain a motion.
Shelley.
I believe that I had to check to see who was on for that one. Councilmember Shelley Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the City of Gustavus waive the right to file a protest of the liquor license renewal application for the Snug Harbor Liquor Store.
We have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Owens, seconded by Vice Mayor Bishop. That the City of Gustavus waives the right to file a protest of the liquor license renewal application for the Snug Harbor Liquor Store. Do any council members have any comments on whether to approve this motion? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
The motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. So the clerk will notify the ABC board that we have waived the right to protest the liquor license. I can work with you to. Okay. That brings us around to council reports. I'm going to give council members the opportunity first if you have anything to report on a project that you're doing before I do a summary of my mayor's report. Any council members with something to project you're working on? Okay. Maybe I'll ask the council member Driscoll to comment on the beach wheelchair project she's working on. I'd like you to give an update on that.
Okay, and so based on an email you sent me earlier, you asked that I not put it on for this month because of all this that we had going. And so I put that part on hold, but we're still working on looking at what type of a shed to store the items in. And the thought of putting the shed for the items to be where the, by the fuel, what do you call it? Where the fuel tanks are, it's about the same place where the GDA sign currently is. And so that way it wouldn't be on the beach itself, but it would be back off of the beach. And so it would obstruct any view of the beach or, but yet still be very accessible to people who would like to use them. And so we're looking at, and I've talked with, when I was at the health fair, I talked with Sierra from SAIL, and she said that they have some similar types of things, not the same brand, but similar wheelchairs that are used on the beach, and that they're part of their outdoor activities program, and that they get used quite frequently with lots of good responses on that. And so we're looking at a wheelchair, a walker, and a baby jogger. And then I'm also starting to think, because some of the information I've gotten input from people includes a wagon, like a cargo type of wagon that would be then available for people who are using the beach, say for firewood or to have a picnic, to be able to instead of driving down there with all their stuff, be able to have a hefty wagon to be able to transfer, bring their things for their picnic or their firewood, etc. And so I've looked into those, and they're relatively inexpensive. You can get them from a range of $150 to $350. So I'm thinking to add that to the items and then include it in the storage area. And so I'll write it up and have it available. And I'm hoping that Kyle maybe can help with the design of the shed, because that's beyond what I know.
Okay, thanks. We'll look forward to maybe moving that forward more next month.
So just a quick update on our Gustavus Social Health and Safety Group. I can't remember last week if you reported on the Sorupa's Aware visit. I was ill, so I missed it, but we did have that second event. Some of you, I'm sure, went. And at this point, the plan is to meet. I've got an email list of about 40 people that are interested in doing something. And I'm going to set up a meeting probably for next week, just with these people on this list, and hope to divide and conquer into some groups, action groups, and have a person leading each of those action groups. And I would, will help organize that. And I just want to say, Mike pointed out, some of you guys who came to those meetings, put your personal email, some of you council members put your personal email, and so you were on that email list, but because of the
Open Meetings Act.
Open Meetings Act. That's a violation, even your personal email, to have too many people on one email. So I'm going to send you a separate message via your
your council email and take you off that list. And if this group continues, and then when you're off the council, make sure you get back on that list if you want to be involved. But at this point, I have to separate them out. So that's all for that right now.
Sounds workable.
Any other reports on projects? Okay. I'll give a quick summary of my mayor's report, which is I actually have edited what was in the packet, and I'll post it with the edits because there are a few updates over the last week since the deadline last Wednesday for the report to go in the packet. First off, I want to just say thank you so much to all the citizens who walked the roadsides and picked up winter litter on the May 6th cleanup day. I saw a lot of folks out along the roads, and it's a great community effort that reflects really well on our community. And we have a very low litter rate in this community, and the spring cleanup, I think, reinforces the idea that we're a clean community that doesn't litter. And so it helps our roadsides look much better for the coming visitor season. And thanks to Tim Sunday for sponsoring that event. And he'll be back in Gustavus later this month, but wasn't there for the event, but he did sponsor it. We are still looking for a city clerk, and somebody described it as onerous work, but it's challenging, and we really do need a good candidate. I think it's central to the success and for our city. Oh, I see Jim had his hand up. Jim, I'll come back to you later if you had a comment on our project. So I'll get back to you on that after I'm done. If you know somebody who has some good organizational skills, and particularly an understanding of how municipalities work, or is the kind of person who can learn the job well, then by all means, please suggest that they apply. We may have more luck as fall approaches and people are finished with summer commitments, but if we can get somebody on into the position earlier than that, it would really help. We've got Ben and as treasurer, and our fire chief Sol Martinez covering in here, and Kathy Leary also covering to make sure that the public's needs are met when they come in. We really do need to fill that position with a full-time person. But and I should also thank Shelley for coming in and answering the phone and being here after Ben's hours are up each several days. We're delighted to have Larry Platt employed now as our marine facility. Well, he begins his job in June. I think I wrote June 1st. I think it's the 6th or something like that, that his actual work begins when he gets back from his trip to Scotland. And he really brings great skills to this position. And I think he's going to do a fine job as marine facilities coordinator. With the help of our previous coordinator and now treasurer, who is going to be working with him to get him to help him in ease into the job and make sure he knows what's got to get done. We talked about the playground equipment project, and I want to thank the students in grades 2 through 5 and their teacher, Ms. Karen McSpadden, for coming in and helping Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop and Council Member Janine Driscoll and I go through the options that were provided for the playground equipment and helped us narrow it down to a choice that I think is going to be an exciting improvement out there. So thanks to all of you for helping on that. Our city administrator discussed the library bike shelter project. Yeah, we still are working out some change order possibilities with the contractor. And we will be issuing an NTP for the job to begin once we are confident that we've worked out some acceptable arrangements for some change orders on the project. Thanks to Dean Weichel for working with me on the heat pump installation. It's almost done. We need to have John Nixon come in and hook up the power. He's away this week, but we hope to have the units in operation next week when John gets back and can run the circuit to the condenser outside the wall here. And thanks to the manufacturer, Mr. Cool, for donating this unit. And we're looking forward to seeing how it works out. Yeah, it was a very interesting job it's a do-it-yourself installation. The system is designed so that you don't have to have a licensed refrigerant person to charge the system, because the lines from the condenser to the discharge units are pre-charged, and so it makes it possible to use quick disconnects and hook them up. We learned a lot doing it. It wasn't all easy, but it's certainly the kind of thing that fairly handy people can do if they want to do it themselves. The Beach Hardened Trail project was awarded last month to Glacier Bay Construction Company. They've been given their notice to proceed. John Berry's the project manager on that, and I'm helping John with the sort of on the ground documentation of what's getting done. Similar thing for the septic storage tank, also a project awarded to Glacier Bay Construction. And Frontier Freight got the two 10,000 gallon tanks over here. They're sitting down the Harbor DRC property. And we are working with the contractor to get a quote for a change order to cover the entrance road. And but we are very close to beginning construction on that too. The road maintenance had, as Kathy mentioned it, we had a cool, wet spring, and so it was a somewhat difficult breakup with a lot of roads being pretty soft and pretty hard to drive for a while. But now they've dried out a lot, and Glacier Bay Construction has them mostly smoothed out. We've smoothed them first often with the Savannah grader, and then we're coming back and reshaping them with the motor grader and beginning to add gravel. And we'll use up the rest of our budget for this year on those sort of touch-up jobs and putting new gravel on, and then we'll pick up with continued improvements to add more gravel to a lot of the roads when we have a new budget starting in July. And that new budget in July will be the subject of the RFQ that we are posting tomorrow, following the format that we've used for many years now to establish a blanket RFQ or blanket contract for the year to cover all the maintenance and small construction jobs that we do throughout the year to maintain and improve the roads. So that will be posted tomorrow, and the bid opening is May 31st, and we have a contractors, bidders pre-bid meeting on, I think it's May 18th, scheduled in the RFQ. So we'll hope to get some good offers from contractors for the next year's road maintenance. The Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department project construction, the installation of the tower was awarded also to Glacier Bay Construction, and construction scheduled to begin this summer. We're fitting that in around some of our other projects and the road maintenance that they do. We had a great health fair. I was really pleased with how that turned out. We owe a big thanks to our fire chief, Sol Martinez, for organizing the fair. And a thanks also to the Alaska Health Fair crew who comes and does the sample collection and so forth. To the local and Juneau Search Clinic staff who were here to help with blood draws also and set up an information table under the leadership of Kelly Warren. Colleen Stansberry for setting up a table with information on hospice. To GVFD volunteers and library volunteers who set up tables for information on those city functions, and the also covering the Medevac insurance offers from the various Medevac companies. And thanks to Southeast Alaska Independent Living, or SAIL, and AWARE, both for coming and providing information tables and other support for us. Search contributed the community center rental fee, and we had lots of residents lined up for blood pressure checks and screening blood draws and so forth. So that was all really added to the success of it. Tanya mentioned the AWARE informational meeting that we had. There were, I think, 16 concerned Gustavus residents there. There were a lot of good ideas and a lot of interest in working to make, to help assure that Gustavus remains a safe community for all of its residents of all ages. And we'll look forward to more leadership from Tanya on as we go forward on that one. Janitor Wilson was here for some PFAS monitoring, and they've done drawn samples from our water systems for City Hall, the Fire Hall, the library, and the community garden, and we'll be reporting those results soon. Ken McGowan is working on the old post office building renovation, and he'll be working this month, and then will be gone for some business travel, and then back in August to pick up the project. So we have we're making progress on that one. We had a visit from Alaska Power and Telephone from Jason Custer, who's the vice president for regulatory affairs for them, and he's a real supporter of alternative energy generation and electrification, and particularly here in Gustavus. He's real interested in Gustavus, and it's great to have him. Councilmember Jim Muscoviac and I spent the day with him and hiked up the Hydro Road. He hadn't been up there before, and we also went out for a meeting with Jake Olson at the park to understand better the park's expectations for electrification.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, we're at 10 o'clock. We need a motion to suspend the rules and go beyond 10 for our, we've got just a few more things, but I'm about done with this. So. But can I have a motion from someone to suspend the rules and continue beyond 10? We need to have public comment on non-agenda items too. So again,
I'll make a motion to go till 10:15 tops. How's that?
Okay, I'll second that. Is there any objection to unanimous consent on that to extend this to 10:15? That should be enough for us. Okay. We have moved to extend to waive the rules and extend to 10:15. So the only other items to add, we had some Disappointments on our grants request for the Good River Bridge and the bike path. The DOT applications are applications didn't score highly enough to move forward. We're following up to understand what the options are there, but it could be that just those particular grant opportunities weren't the best fit for our projects. It doesn't mean the projects or the grant applications weren't good. Kathy spent a lot of time on that, and I can't imagine what else she could have possibly done. And finally, we have engine 27 up for sale. We've posted that now, and bids on the truck are due by June 8. So that's a quick summary of my report. And I wanted to call on Jim Muscoviac. He's had his hand up. I think he had something he wanted to comment on. I missed him earlier. Jim?
Yeah, it's pretty simple here. I'd like to welcome our newest Gustavus resident, Laura Marcus, wife of Zach Brown. Yesterday gave birth in Juneau to Salix Elijah, an 8-pound, 8-ounce boy who's doing very well.
Yes, and congratulations. We're looking at the pictures during the break. Yeah, that's great. That takes us to council comment, questions and comments. Is there anything that Councilmember Lewis?
We talked about a while ago about giving city employees Martin Luther King Jr. Day off. And I don't know how everyone felt about it. Right now, they're down about two holidays from what most people get, state and feds. So just wondering if it's worth asking, if there's time, the city staff to draft up a resolution. I guess there would be a change. There has to be a change in ordinance, right? So it's a little complicated. And we can talk about it next meeting too. I just wanted to keep the conversation alive.
A motion for the, I think it is an ordinance change. So it could be done. Okay. Any other comments? Kathy Leary.
Councilmember Lewis. I know you raised this before, so if you wish, you could direct one of our staff to come up with that change, if that's truly what you'd like to do, and then we could put it before the council. But at this point, we weren't sure if you guys were going to introduce it or if you wanted us to, but we could certainly have staff write that up if you choose.
So I'm in favor of that, if others are as well. If there's no big opposition, I think we should move forward. It's just a nice thing to do for our staff and a nice thing to do in recognition of Martin Luther King Jr. too, to recognize that holiday.
Okay, any other council comments, questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Are there any members of the public wishing to make a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, then I think we've finally come to our adjournment, and we'll adjourn at 10:07. Thank you.
Ha 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 ha!